You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Radio, you're still tuned into Mid Morning Empowerment with your host, Ozinhle Wakwakambule. I'm taking you through between the hours of 9 o'clock up until 12 o'clock. We are getting into our feature of the day, Deep Dive, Nurturing Spiritual Intimacy in Marriage, Fighting Fear Spiritually. We will be talking to Dr. Emmanuel Mwale. He's on the line. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I am very well, thank you. Welcome to Mid Morning Empowerment, Adventist World Radio. All right.
Thank you.
Before we get into our conversation for today, can you open with the word of prayer?
Okay, shall we pray? Loving Father, we are grateful that we can be on air to share principles that can help marriages. We pray that as we begin, even as we end, the Holy Spirit will guide us. Let the flow go well to your own glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Doctor, for that. And without any waste of time, let's get into our conversation. We are looking at nurturing spiritual intimacy in marriage, fighting fear spiritually. So all couples argue, but not all fight spiritually. When tempers flame, does God disappear from the conversation? Or is there a way to argue in a way that depends and not damages your bond and your faith? So how can couples invite God into the moments of conflict without using scripture as a weapon?
The first thing is to mention that it works better if all along they have been communicating well.
All right.
Whatever the case, the first thing is for them to pray. Asking for God, not trying to use power, but simply to pray, to ask God to intervene, and then also to look at scripture as a mirror and not a hammer.
Okay.
As a hammer, you want to use scripture to hit your partner on the head because of whatever you think they have done wrong against you. But as a mirror, you use scripture to help you see how you have contributed to that conflict yourself.
Right.
Apart from that, couples need to look at what is mutual to each one of them. And if they look at what is mutual to each one of them, they will not use scripture as a weapon against the other, but they will want to maintain what is mutual, and therefore they will ask God to be with them so that in their discussions, God will intervene.
Mm.
Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Wow.
And if they have lived together, understanding that for them to have peace, even when they have conflict, they will always defer to Christ to be the one who rule at the end. And then they should also think of a win-win situation, and that can only come in if they are humble enough to acknowledge the fact that each one of them may have contributed to the conflict. So to solve that conflict, God is the only one who can help them.
So, meaning if quoting a scripture in a conflict, why, let's say we are having an argument with my partner, so I tend to quote a scripture. Maybe, let me make an example. Quoting Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, encouraging humility, gentleness, and patience in resolving disagreements, right? So, let me say I quote that scripture that says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. So is it a sign of me weaponizing, or is it a sign of a weapon when I quote that scripture in a conflict or an agreement?
Okay. Let me explain this in terms of what happens in church.
Okay.
If I have a particular person in church who has done something wrong, And then I quote scripture while I'm preaching, and that scripture will target that particular person. I'm not quoting scripture in the right way.
Okay, okay.
In the same way, if I quote that scripture generally to address a problem that affects everyone, there is no problem with that. So let's zero into our situation as husband and wife.
Right.
If I decide to quote that scripture, the question I need to ask myself, is it that I've seen my wife not to be humble?
Sure. Okay.
Or I'm using that scripture to just help both of us to be humble enough to listen to each other. If I use it to help each one of us to listen to each other, it is okay. But if I use it because somehow I've seen that I've judged my wife as being not humble, then I'm not quoting scripture well. I'm using it as a weapon.
Sure. Powerful one, Doctor. All right. So what's the difference between being right and being righteous in a disagreement?
Being right has to do with facts.
Okay.
Whatever facts that I've presented about the issue are right, so I'm right. Whereas being righteous means that I'm upright, I'm fair, I'm humble. So the two things are not the same, they are different. You can be right, but unrighteous in your argument. You may not treat the other person fairly, and yet you are right. You may not be humble, and yet you are right.
Sure.
You may not be upright, and yet you are right. So that's where the difference is.
Remember, Doctor, that your fact, let me put it this way, your fact or your opinion is not a fact to someone. Okay? We are we are speaking of being right and being righteous in a disagreement. So you may say something coming as a fact from you, but to someone else that opinion is not a fact. So how do we work around that to make one another understand in a disagreement, to come up with a solution in a disagreement?
Yes, that's why it is important to be righteous and not necessarily be right.
Okay.
Because if you are righteous, then you will be humble enough to understand that what you are saying may be viewed as an opinion by the other person. And so if it's viewed as an opinion, then the other person will not take it the way you would want them to take it. Somebody says a problem has two sides, my side and your side. And these sides may be on opinion level.
Right.
And so the couple should always think in terms of the right side.
All right,
meaning there should be the third side. So where opinions are involved, then try as much as possible to look at the third side, which is likely to be the right side. But if I look at only my side, I may be wanting to push my opinions on the other person who may resent it because they feel that's not a fact, it's just an opinion.
Sure. Powerful one. Doctor, and can spiritually mature couples argue without breaking intimacy? Sure. Okay.
Yes, it's very possible for spiritually mature couples to argue without breaking intimacy. How does this happen? It depends on the quality of their relationship.
Right.
If they have nurtured their relationship in such a way that they handle their conflicts in a manner that is Christ-like, then if they argue over something, for example, if we argue over which school we need to take our child. One may think the child should go to a boarding school. The other one may say, no, the child should be in a day school. The one who talks about a boarding school may be thinking in terms of being not disturbed in terms of studies. The one who says that home may be thinking in terms of Christian training, especially if there is no Adventist or there is no Christian in school. Now, that argument really should not interfere with your intimacy. It's just an argument that you need to discuss, maybe at an intellectual level, not involving emotions. Intimacy may be affected if emotions are involved. That means now that goes beyond it being just an argument.
Right.
But there are other issues also that may be at an emotional level that may still not affect intimacy, because you people, you love each other. And love takes the day, irrespective of whatever argument may be there.
Wow, powerful one. If you can mention, Doctor, the kinds of disagreements or like the kinds of disagreements people should, or the couples should not, what's the word? I forgot about the word. I wanted to say something. Let me put it this way. All right. What kind of disagreements should couples avoid to break intimacy, that can cause breaking of intimacy?
Yeah, there are arguments to do with preference.
Okay.
I think arguments to do with preference should not be allowed to break intimacy. But there are arguments to do with principles.
Okay.
Arguments to do with the principles need to be faced head on, but they still need to be handled in a manner that you don't break intimacy. I may not be quick to find the exact situations that I can use here.
Right.
But for example, I grew up taking Shima in the morning for
right.
breakfast.
Mm.
My wife takes tea for breakfast.
Mm.
Now, I want my wife to prepare Shima for me every morning. I think in South Africa, I don't know whether you call it pap.
Yes.
But she wants to prepare tea for me. That is an argument that will come in as a matter of preference.
Right.
So I can either drop that expectation in order for us to maintain our relationship, or my wife can compromise and say, okay, I'll be preparing Shima for you maybe twice in a week, while the other days you take tea with me. Or she may say, I'll be preparing Shima for you every day. If that cannot be done, if she cannot prepare Shima for me, I can prepare Shima for myself.
Right.
Or I can simply decide to do away with it and then start taking tea, because that's not a principle. It's just a matter of preference. So there are certain issues in families that are not a matter of principle, but just preferences that sometimes go to affect intimacy, which should not be the case.
True. Oh, thank you so much for that, Doctor. And what biblical principles can guide how we fight, forgive, and reconcile?
Okay, so I think of Matthew 7, verse 12. Do unto others what you would want them to do for you. So if I want to be forgiven, then I should be willing to forgive. If I want to be loved, I should love first myself. if I want to reconcile with the other person, I should do cherish reconciliation. What if the other person decided not to reconcile with me? How would I feel? What if the other person decided not to forgive me? How would I feel? So I see this principle to help in terms of how we fight in our relationships.
Right. Last one, before I let you go, Doctor, what does it mean to submit to one another? Ephesians chapter 5, it quoted Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. In real life arguments, what does it mean to submit to one another in real life arguments?
This is a very important text in relationships. First and foremost, people use verse 22 of the same text.
Right.
To emphasize the submission of wife to husband. But the Paul started with 21, which refers to Christian submission, which means that the husband can submit to the wife and the wife can submit to the husband as Christians, not necessarily as husband and wife. Uh-huh. But now, in terms of argument or arguments, this text refers to being humble over trying to maintain your ego. So humility over ego. Being willing to act the way Christ acted. He decided to take the form of a human being and humbled himself to the cross, even if he was God. This text also seeking to understand and not to dominate, meaning you do not assert yourself as being the one, the boss. Instead, you seek to understand the other person's position. You put yourself in their shoes,
right,
so that you listen to them. It also means speaking the truth in love. You may have the truth about the situation, but you may not speak it in love, and that can affect the other person in a manner that will affect your relationship.
Right.
It also means deferring the matter to for the sake of unity, which means you do not escalate it, because you believe that if you escalate it, it will bring destruction to your intimacy as a couple. And then also it means shared reverence for Christ, because it's actually in Christ. You submit to the other in Christ. You may not want to submit. Yourself, the I in you, may not want to submit. But for the sake of Christ, you submit. And doing so helps to ensure that you maintain your intimacy.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Emmanuel, for giving us such powerful answers for the questions that were prepared for you. All right. Thank you so much. Let's close with a word of prayer.
Thank you.
Please pray for us.
Okay. Dear Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you gave us to witness for you through this family life lesson. We just pray, help, asking you, Lord, to help whoever our listeners were, even ourselves, to understand what we discussed today and apply in our lives to your own glory. Be with us for the rest of the day as we do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Doctor. Until next time.
Thank you.
Amen. To our listeners,
amen.
To our listeners at home, that was Dr. Emmanuel Mwale talking to us about nurturing spiritual intimacy in marriage, fighting faith spiritually. What a powerful conversation. Hoping tomorrow we'll continue with our conversation.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.